Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, this is Ralph Lawler. Welcome to the Lob the Jam podcast.
What's up, everyone? It's the Lob the Jam, the podcast. I'm Chapon, coming to you as always with Rob. How's it going, Rob?
You know, it was going better before the Clippers game.
It was going better before the Clippers game. The Clippers lost today 110-95. And honestly, in a game that got closer, but this kind of felt accurate that they lost this game by like 10 or so points, because it felt like they had these little spurts that got them, you know, even in the lead briefly, but the Nets were just kind of the better team. Paul George was 5 for 21, did shoot over 20 shots today. Thank you, Bert, for that. But he was not very good. Ivica Zubac was quite good, 16 and 15, got a bunch of switches, did have 5 turnovers, but was pretty good, kind of taking advantage of the smaller players that were on him, some rolling. Marcus Morris was all right on offense, particularly early on. I think he got most of these points in the first half. Not so great on defense. The team in general was not so great on defense. Aside from that, I mean, honestly, the role players for the most part were not terrible. They were a little bit up and down. Norm Powell had 16 points.
It was like 14. A C-minus game from everybody.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It was like you showed up, you maybe barely passed. John Wall was very up and down. 14 and 6 on 5 of 11 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, which is staggering numbers from him. Terrence Mann only played 19 minutes. Rocco continued not to play. Luke Kennard played 24 minutes and had 9 points. There's a lot to talk about, particularly with this minute distribution out here, Rob. I feel like that's probably the bigger picture thing. The Nets, kudos to them, playing better with their new coach, Akman. Playing better defense. They did play better on defense today. I liked what I saw from them. Kevin Durant was a superstar, and Seth Curry was very, very good on offense today, particularly down the stretch. Always a nice player, bad defensive player because of how small he is, but always been a very good offensive player, and he was good today for the Nets. So, Rob, general thoughts on this game. I feel like you mentioned right before we came on the air, it just feels like there's a lot to talk about this Clipper team that maybe was lost in the undercurrent of some of these good vibes from a winning perspective recently. But there's some issues, I think, with these rotations out there, Rob.
Well, the thing is, and I talked about this in the recap, is the Clippers are and Ty Lue are going super small a lot. You talked about no minutes for Robert Covington. He's been a DNP CD the past two games, and Ty Lue mentioned after last game that he's talked with Rocco and he's kind of out of the rotation for now, which, if he's actually healthy, is a completely baffling decision. Because, I mean, he's barely played this year, but when he's played, he's been decent. I mean, he hasn't been amazing, but he hasn't been bad. It's not like he's been so bad he should have lost his rotation spot. And it's not like most of the guys ahead of him have really been playing that well. So it's just, if he's actually healthy, it's a very confusing decision. I don't know if he necessarily solves their issues, but it's still weird to just bench a veteran who's played well for you and whose competition hasn't necessarily been awesome. Marcus Morris has been very good on offense, has struggled on defense a lot. Nick Batum has been the opposite. His defense has been great. His offense has not been very good. I don't know. Like, he's going to a 9-man rotation when most of the team is like in their 30s, which I just don't really get, when like this team's strength is their depth. There's a whole lot of small ball. Like he's playing, Ty Lue is playing a lot of Reggie Jackson and John Wall together. Lots of both of them with Norm Powell or Luke Kennard, just lots of those three guard rotations. And the issue is that not only are those bad defensively and on the glass, but the Clippers are not even getting any offense out of them. Like they're the worst offense in the league, or maybe I think the Lakers might still be a little bit worse, but it's pretty close. They're neck and neck for the worst offense in the league. And that's with playing small so much. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe you could argue it would be even worse if he did try to play bigger and like maybe give Rocco or even Amir, you know, some of those minutes and play some of those guards less, but it's just, it's not working. The offense is terrible. And the defense is pretty good, but I don't know if it's tenable because I feel like it's taking superhuman efforts from Paul George and Ivica Zubac in particular to keep the defense afloat. Like there's a whole lot of like Marcus Morris and Luke Kennard and Reggie Jackson and John Wall and Norm Powell who are not like who range from like okay to like bad defenders. And I just don't know how much longer the defense can stay really good without huge minutes from Zubats and Paul George, which provides its, you know, its own issues. I just, if Robert Covington is healthy, I don't understand why he's not playing. Just is not really working on either end, despite the Clippers being good defensively. I think it's really just because of Paul George and Ivica Zubats.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. The Clippers played a bit small. I think this combination of Kennard and Wall and Reggie in any sort of combination, or the three of those guys, even with Amir at times when Amir plays, or if you're playing all those guys at once. And then the bigger issue is if you're playing Nico and you have like Marcus maybe flanking him and you feel kind of bigger, but then rebounding wise, you're not rebounding well, which is another reason why Robert Covington not playing, who is not particularly a great rebounder, but he's a good enough rebounder. You know, Nico is probably good to below average, probably below average, particularly if he's playing the five or even the four. And Marcus Morris, as we all know, is a bit below average, though he has been better this year at rebounding. He's still not quite the guy you want, you know, flanking or being the rebounder if Nico Batum is coming on help defense and trying to shade over to contend. And it's another reason why I think, why isn't Robert Covington playing? I think we just need to kind of utilize our size. Terrence Mann, who is a plus rebounder at the guard position, should probably be playing more minutes. He played 19 today. And John Wall, you know, Wall, Norm, Reggie, you know,
they're just playing
Kennard. It's
weird because I mean, people, you know, I do think Marcus Morris is probably playing a tad too much. He only played 20 minutes today. He's been averaging like over 31 for the season, which is a lot for a guy of his age with his injury issues. But I don't really even want the minutes taken away from him to give to Rocco. Like, I think it's like Reggie Jackson is also averaging over 31 minutes, or no, he's averaging over 29 minutes, and it'll go up because he played 33. And he's been really bad on the season, and he's dealing with an injury, and he's old. Like, I don't know why they're riding Reggie Jackson so hard. It's like he's not getting by anybody. It's he's not providing any juice to the offense. And like, I like Reggie Jackson. He has a role to play. I'm not asking for him to be benched or traded or whatever, but like, there's just no reason to play him or John Wall for that matter, who's mostly also not been particularly good this year. There's no reason to play them this much. Like, Reggie played 33 minutes in this one and John Wall played 24. I don't think either of them should have had to have played over 20. Like, play Luke Kennard or Norm Powell, even though he was bad, or John or Terrence Mann at point guard. If play Amir Coffey at that, you know, whatever point guard is, but have, you know, Paul George bring the ball up, which he's doing anyway.
I think the issue with that is that, you know, how comfortable are you with Paul George running the offense versus being the guy on the elbow
Been running it for the most part anyway, I think, except sometimes when Wall is in. But like
are we burning him a little bit too much if we expect him to bring the ball up and set the offense a bit and then guard on the other end?
You play Rocco and Mann more, you can also relieve his defensive burdens a little
bit. True. That's fair. That's fair.
The rotations have just been off. And, you know, I think it's totally fine to criticize Ty Lue. I can still think Ty Lue is a very good coach, one of the best in the NBA. I have no desire to see him fired or anything like that. I just don't think his rotations have really been on this year. I think there's way, way, way too much super small ball. And it's just, it's not working on offense. And that's my biggest issue with it. If it was killing it on offense, even if it was giving up a lot defensively, I would understand, but it's not working offensively either.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. Come right back. Talk a little bit more about small ball and things of that nature after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
All right, we're back. You know, I tend not to look at some of the advanced metrics about small ball versus Zubac just because I just assume everything is very lean towards Ivica Zubac's minutes as, and not so much towards small ball, which variance is kind of caked in itself. I do kind of wonder, you know, I think Ty is doing his tinkering thing out here and is trying to figure out mix and match things that kind of work together. I really didn't like, I don't generally like the Reggie Jackson, John Wall minutes together because neither of them have been very good. I think this merits just some chatter in general. John Wall has had a lot of very nice highlights. His transition play is great. I think he can be utilized in a half court when he just kind of has his head on straight. But in general, you know, and Rob, you've kind of talked about this. I feel like he's been such a mess when it comes to half court play that it's really hard for me to kind of say that he's been a huge positive contributor as much as he's just kind of contributing to an area that the Clippers have such little, not just talent in this year, but in many, many years, as far as his transition play, just wowing everybody as far as his ability to go coast to coast, put the ball behind his back, find somebody. That's amazing. The Clippers have had nothing like that. And it absolutely is a boon. But then I just see him in the half court. And the issue is infuriating because I think it was in the fourth quarter or so, John Wall made a really nice crossover and then he kicked it out to the opposite end for a corner three that missed. And I was like, John Wall can be a good facilitator in half court sets. It's just when he gets kind of settled into taking middies or taking off the bounce 3-point shots. I don't even mind him taking catch and shoot threes. You have to take those to make the defense respect you. But it's when he gets caught up in all this other stuff where he just kind of puts his head down, goes to the basket. Sometimes it's good, you know, you kind of want to see that. But I think multiple times in the first half, he put his head down, went straight into just defenders and got like blocked like multiple times. I'm like, John, what are you doing? You know, I think he's smarter than that. And when he feels like the defense on him to kind of get it to a rolling big man, I do think that having a rolling big is really important for John Wall in general. He had some good results, I want to say, maybe against the Lakers the last couple of games with Terrence Mann, with Paul George on the roll, but smart teams will kind of be able to defend that a little bit better. It's been such a mixed bag with John Wall, and I kind of tend to think that it skews towards the negative when I think about the big picture of him, and I just continue to think that he's that 15 to 20 minute bench guy that I thought he would be coming into the season with upside. And the more that I see this and kind of his kind of up and down decision making, I'm still settled in him being a 15 to 20 minute guy that can jolt you into a nice run, but really hard to depend on, particularly when Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are both out there and they're just going to get crowded because nobody respects John Wall's shot from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it's not something of saying he should be benched. Like, yeah. I'm not saying just stop playing John Wall, but he just isn't really deserving of like mid 20s minutes on most of these games. You know, he and Norm Powell in particular have just these drives to the rim that are just completely hopeless. It's like, you know, as soon as they start putting their head down that like, this is just not going to end well.
It's hard because I respect it. I respect a guy like those two guys just saying, yeah, we need to get to the rim and touch the paint. I respect that. But if you touch the paint and you're hopeless because the defense is collapsing, you kick out. You know, you can do it. I think especially John Wall, like, you can definitely kick out and at least try to reset. Don't just shoot directly into a person. It's just tough.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree. Like, I think that, you know, Wall has had some good highlights. He's been a lot of fun. Like, I don't dispute that at all.
Yeah.
And he does provide a needed element to this team, but I don't think his defense has been, it hasn't been awful, but it hasn't been like good. And even though he made 2 threes today, I don't think he's made more than one in almost any other game this season. Teams are completely not respecting him out there. They're giving him more. He gets more space than like Terrence Mann does. Like,
yeah,
I think
teams
are more afraid of Terrence Mann shooting than of John Wall.
Yeah, and Terrence Mann has been successful from deep within the last 2 years, three, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, even on low volume, but I think teams still respect him a little bit more than John Wall. It's like, I would rather play Mann than John Wall in a lot of these games. Like, it's so tough because on one hand, like, you don't want to overburden Paul George or Reggie Jackson or Marcus Morris or whatever, but, like, the Clippers, you know, do have other options. They can play Luke Kennard more. They can play Terrence Mann more. And the thing is, like, they've been good defensively, but like adding more size and more rebounding and guys who create more turnovers like Terrence Mann and especially Robert Covington, we all know about his steal and block rates, like getting this team out in transition would be so helpful for their offense. And like, I would like, and it would be helpful with John Wall because he's a really good transition player, but at the same time, like, You also, you know, having him out there is one less shooter, and that makes it tough when, like, Paul George has the ball and teams can shade, you know, one or two defenders over his way. He has no driving lanes, which means he has to settle for these fadeaways. So, I like the way a lot of the Clippers, I like that Norm Powell's attacking the basket. I like that John Wall's attacking the basket. Like, he had fewer of the pull-up mid-rangers today, which is great. But it still doesn't mean it's really working. And I do think, like, I don't want Ty Lue to be a victim of small sample size, but like, we're 13 games into the season.
Yeah.
And like, this team's offense is absolutely terrible. It's miserable to watch. And I think even though like Robert Covington and Amir Coffey are not amazing offensive players, to put it lightly, I think just switching things up and seeing if different combinations of players working would be a benefit at this point. Yeah, I just don't know. Like, the Reggie and Wall, if they were both playing great, then I would get it. But neither of them is playing well. So playing them together is just, it's a peculiar allocation of minutes.
Yeah, maybe Reggie was playing better coming into this game. And so there was some hope with maybe giving him elongated minutes. So I can maybe see that. But yeah, Rob, are you, I know we've talked about small ball and the need for a center, you know, there's still a need for a backup center. I think, is the idea of small ball still okay with you as long as the Clippers get bigger? Like, you know, as long as there is a Covington and Morris and maybe Nico playing all together with Terrence at the guard and even George, as long as the Clippers got bigger throughout the lineup, are you okay seeing small ball still? Or how, because, you know, the last couple of games there were some good returns from small ball. So, you know, where are you with this experiment right now? Are you tweak it and keep trying it out there? Because we know Ty Lue's tendencies, and we know that the team has gotten small, you know, have played small ball rather than big small ball with our wings. Kawhi Leonard is obviously a big part of small ball, but it just feels like, you know, if the Clippers are so insistent on going small, that they're just like simple things that they can do to get bigger up front, even in their smaller lineups.
Yeah, I mean, my preference would be to get a good backup center and play them. I do think that small ball can work. I don't like it as like an every game thing. Like, I think having like a real playable backup center, it doesn't have to be like an amazing one, but like a Gorgie Jang, even like,
yeah, you know, that in between is always a guy I've wanted. Like Larry Nance Jr. is a guy that always pops up in my head as far as like a 6'8" guy.
He's too good. They don't even need somebody that good.
Right.
Yeah, like I that would be my preference, but I think like
John Collins,
small ball.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's so confusing because like all they've talked about the past 2 years is like we want switchable wings, we want like wing heavy, forward heavy lineups that can switch everything and but they could theoretically do that even without Kawhi. It would be tougher, but they're just not. Like they're Roko again. Maybe it's COVID related. It's very possible. You know, he's still just recovering, and that's why
I don't buy that morning of the Laker game. He was talking to the press about Ty Lue increasing his minutes and how he felt fine. He said it like on record that he was feeling fine. Yeah.
I don't really buy it either. And I just don't know. Like they could play that way even without Kawhi. Like they could, even without him, they could roll out a lineup of Terrence, you know, one of Reggie or Wall or Luke, with Terrence, PG, Roko or Nico, and Marcus Morris.
That's
totally
the key.
Good small ball lineup.
One of those three, please. They all have enough overlapping things. Why do we need all two or, God forbid,
all
three
of them
at
crazy.
Once? Yeah.
Yeah, all three of them is just so duplicative. Like, and like again, like Luke Kennard has played better than John Wall or Reggie Jackson. I'm not like a huge Luke Kennard guy, but like he's strongly outplayed both of them, and Norm Powell for that matter. And like I think he has played a lot, but like if he's playing well and like Reggie is not, like what is Reggie providing that Luke Kennard
right exactly
is not?
We want Reggie Jackson to be this catch and shoot guy with some juice. Isn't that Luke Kennard, like, you
right
know
now? Yeah. And it's like, I mean, the same thing is true of Norm Powell. Like he's been a bit better over the past couple of games. Like I still don't think he was very good in this one. Like I think like 5 or 6 of his points came in garbage time. I appreciate him attacking, but he's still not making jumpers. Nothing. He's providing like nothing else on the court. And like, why not just play Luke Kennard instead and then play guys who provide other things like defense and rebounding? Again, like maybe the offense gets a little bit worse, but like if the defense and rebounding are better, you might still have a better chance to win. I'm just the three guards is just so small when you're already playing small. And even with Zoo, like they're playing three guards and then Paul George at the four and then Zubats, even with Zoo in there, again, that's just asking so much of Paul George and Zoo defensively. And that's why I think we're seeing like George and even like Reggie and Marcus, like their fourth quarter numbers are not good because they're gassed. Like they're playing too many minutes, and like PG in particular is taking on a really heavy defensive load. And it's like, you know, Robert Covington is not a great point of attack guy, but he's an amazing help defender and team defender. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like even Amir is like, he's a better defender than Reggie Jackson or John Wall or, mm-hmm. or Norm Powell, and just like a bigger body. Like, yeah, I'm just confused. Like, I think it's partially just tinkering Ty. I think in particular, they really do want to give John Wall a long look and to play himself into, you know, a better state. But like, he looks healthy. The health is not the problem. It's the decision making and just the lack of kind of off, you know, burst in the half court.
The same player. He's the same player as he's kind of been
the past couple of years,
unfortunately. And the team needs him to adjust just a little bit, to take less jumpers and to not being a scorer. He needs to just be a pure point guard. And that's not quite exactly what he's doing. Let's take one more break, come right back, and talk a little bit more about this game and the games coming up after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
All right, we're back. You know, Rob, we've also talked about the guards and how many guards. How much of the duplicativeness of these guards were you? We've been talking about these guards today and not needing, you know, even two of three of them at the same time, one being preferable. I look up and down this roster. We just talked about Luke Kennard and Reggie Jackson. We want Reggie to be less of a playmaker, or at least have less of that burden. It's nice seeing him being able to do that with Zoo. It's all those reps are great. I love seeing them do pick and roll stuff. We had a nice dunk with Zoo earlier from a Reggie pocket pass. But again, Reggie Jackson, we want him to be catch and shoot guy with some juice. That's also who Luke Kennard is. They're both, you know, neutral to negative defenders. Norman Powell is a similar type of guy to all those guys with some downhill capability that he shares with John Wall, who's great at the rim. His percentages are great at the rim. Terrence Mann is the same way. And then Amir Coffey has a lot of similar attributes to Terrence Mann. I just feel like I look up and down this roster and see all these overlapping parts. I can't help but bring up that word consolidation. I just can't help
the
it.
Dreaded consolidation.
I just feel like it's inevitable. There are just too many guys. Even if you cut out Amir Coffey out of the rotation, which still hurts my heart, like Amir Coffey not being in the rotation. But even without him, I just feel like these guys, they're just too many guards and not enough minutes. And some real help that could be provided in the eight-man rotation, if they could be consolidated. I just can't look away from that. I feel like there's been nothing that has shown anything of the sort that is not needed. And that even with Kawhi Hart, these guys coming in and out, it just feels like when I see, you know, when you see a game that John Wall doesn't play, and then against one of the best teams in the league in the Cavaliers, and suddenly everybody else that needs some ball touches play better, It doesn't help me, man.
Yeah. The question is, I really haven't done enough research to know like who it might be.
Yeah. I really hate saying this, but talk about who I will always like look at how John Collins is
he's
surviving
barely playing for Atlanta.
Exactly. He's barely playing. They need some shooting, you know, give him Luke Kennard, man. He's a great shooter, best shooter in the league.
Clippers fans need to cool with like Luke Kennard, by the way. Like,
oh,
I feel bad because he's like such a likable guy. He is a really good shooter. But like, there was somebody who's saying like he's the best shooter. It might have even been our friend Jamal, who's like he's the best shooter. It might have been him. I don't know. It was somebody on Twitter today. Who's like, the best shooter outside the Bay Area. And like, I don't think so. Like, he's a very good shooter. I don't think he's a better shooter than like Desmond Bain. Like, is he even a better shooter than like Kevin Herter? I think they're like a bunch of like, he's not a better shooter than Seth Curry, I don't think.
Luke Kennard is a real good shooter, man.
He's top 10.
I will say, but whatever about Luke Kennard, the issue with him is, you know, everything else. But granted, I want to give Luke Kennard his credit, and I definitely like give him a bunch of credit, and I was not shy to talk about trading Luke Kennard. He's been good this year. He's been better than I expected, especially to start. I think that he's been much more involved offensively than just a strict
really
shooter.
Well.
He's been,
I think
his
he's
defensive
really well.
Strides have been good too. Yeah, good for him.
But yeah, I mean, I just think like him, Reggie, Norm are just like what, like Norm brings more downhill. Reggie's the best playmaker. Luke is the best pure shooter of the three, but there's still so much overlap. And then you said the same thing again with like Terrence and Amir. You can kind of
and
do
Wall.
That with like Nico and Rocco. Yeah.
But we don't have many of those guys. I mean, when you look up front, you know, I think Nico, Rocco, and Mook are overlapping for sure if you look at them that way. But if we go small, it's less of a case. Because if we're using more small ball, then those guys are all actually kind of needed to an extent to keep everybody fresh.
Yeah, I mean, I think two things. One, I hate to give them this excuse. It is so hard to make real big conclusions about this team because Kawhi Leonard has barely played.
That's a huge issue. Completely.
Yeah, and like I know people are like, it's really Paul George's team. It's not. Like, if the Clippers are going to win a championship, Kawhi Leonard has to be the best player on the team. He has to be. Because Paul George is great. He's not good enough to be the number one team on a championship team.
Yeah. You know how hard it is for a rhythm player to be like the best player on a title team and not have like slumps throughout it. Granted, Paul George was incredible in, you know, against Utah and against Phoenix, but he's such a like a there are moments we've talked about.
He's just too inconsistent.
Yeah,
he's,
exactly. That's really
too
where
inconsistent to be like the number one guy on a title team. And like that's Paul George is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's playing our, I would say probably like third team All NBA, like second, maybe even first. I mean, his defense has been fantastic this
year.
He's
been great this year. He's probably I think he's a first team, second team All NBA guy right now.
He's probably like second or third. He's been great.
That like, week was like half the season, Rob.
But you need, generally speaking, you need a first team All-NBA guy to win the championship.
Right.
And that is Kawhi Leonard. So, like, while I get, like, maybe Paul George will be the lead shot taker and the lead kind of, like, scorer, they need Kawhi to be the best player on this team. And, like, he's played, what, like, 40 minutes this year? Like, he's barely played, so it's tough to know. And the other factor is that for all their talk about believing in Zoo, I think they've been maybe a bit surprised at how much they, like, need Zubats without Kawhi Leonard and with no other backup big man on the roster because, like, you know, I think the plan was to play small a lot, and it's like they literally just cannot play without Zoo much. Like, when he's not on the court, their defense and rebounding suffers to huge extents. Mm-hmm. I think even their offense suffers because they don't have anybody that, like, big screens and to finish around the rim. And the offensive rebounding, they can't play without him. And, like, maybe Kawhi returning does truly unlock small ball. And, like, you can play Kawhi, PG, then, like, two of the Nico, Roko, Mook guys. And then all of a sudden you do have enough defense and rebounding to truly play small. Yeah. But, like, I think without Kawhi, they just don't. And, you know, I think Hartenstein covered that up last year because they played small sometimes, but, you know, they did have two good big men. And this year they only have one. And I think they've maybe been a bit surprised that, like, we really just can't sit Zoo much without Kawhi on the court. And I think those two things have combined for maybe some of those extra small. But, again, it still just doesn't make sense. Like, if you're not going to play, like, when Zoo isn't on the court, you have to play big, and they're not. Like, they're playing maybe Mook and Nico together, and sometimes just one of them. Like, I don't know. I think there is something to, like, they need to see this team with Kawhi. But I do think a consolidation trade for whoever it might be is still in the cards. I don't know. I mean, it could be somebody. It doesn't even need to be as big a name as John Collins. Like, I think Kelly Olynyk would do wonders for this team.
I was looking into Kelly Olynyk before. I mean, that Utah team, who knows, maybe they'll win a championship for all we know.
No, I mean, they just lost the Wizards tonight.
Oh, did they? Never mind. I think there's some shot variance with Utah that's been helping them out.
It's not sustainable. I think they're decent, but I don't think they're like a real playoff team. And, like, I think they're gonna go through a cold stretch and then they're gonna sell their bets. Like, Kelly Olynyk is a guy who, like, I don't know what his salary is, but, like, you flip, like, even if the guard is a better player, just to, like, get better roster balance, do you, like, flip, like, Reggie Jackson or, you know, Norm Powell? It feels weird to say trade Norm Powell for Kelly Olynyk, and I don't think the Clippers would do that. Maybe they get something else. I don't know.
Like, 12 million. It's tough. I feel like there probably is something out there just because the Clippers have so many movable deals. It's very early on, so it's probably a reason I haven't dived into the salary cap to see matching trade outputs and inputs and all that. It is worthwhile what you mentioned. Kawhi Leonard really just makes a lot of this stuff work. I mean, small ball, he makes it work. When you have another help defender, another low man, another guy with good defensive instincts, that's almost like a Roko, and at the same time, a quality, like somebody who can switch onto a smaller guard without any. Kawhi Leonard is such a Swiss Army knife on defense, and when he's locked in, he's still very, very, very freaking good. Plus, he's a plus defender. He's enough of a good, not plus defender, plus rebounder. He's enough of a good rebounder that if you play him at the four, you can get away with it. He's had great rebounding games also in the playoffs. I mean, I know he can compensate there. And a lot of what the Clippers miss is when they go small, they have a lot of these small ballish fives, particularly Nico and Marcus, who aren't great rebounders. Again, I want to give Marcus some credit for rebounding well this year, but just going off of his years before. And then on offense, there's something mechanical you need to an offense to win a championship that we've seen in guys like Giannis, that we've seen in guys like even Steph Curry. As much as he's a jump shooter, he's the best jump shooter in NBA history and a great offensive player, an engine all to his own. Even when you see a deep run, like in a guy like Booker and Chris Paul, there's something mechanical that you need. And Paul George is just too up and down to be that guy. He can absolutely be the best player on the floor in a game, but over even multiple and even a series,
but not four series.
Exactly. And I love Paul George. I think he's insanely talented, one of the most talented players I've ever seen on a basketball court, but he's just a little bit streaky. And I think we've all come to accept that about Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, whatever he is. He has his spots, and there's something important about a championship run with a guy who just knows his spots. And that's who Kawhi Leonard is. Who knows? We've heard good things. Andrew Greif put out an article recently. Kawhi Leonard is doing 5-on-5s again. Yep. So that's really great. The fact that I have to say the word again
is he 2 weeks out? I would say maybe best estimate.
Let's hope 2 weeks or so. I mean, feels like there's some good vibes as far as him recovering. But it's tough that he's needed to recover. How much are we going to be dealing with this? I have so many questions from a medical standpoint about Kawhi Leonard's knee
what is the actual issue?
Yeah, what's going on? Tightness? Did they get a repeat MRI? Do they see chronic inflammation? I have so many things I would ask, and if I asked at a presser, I would be not allowed to ask many more questions. But a lot of questions about Kawhi Leonard's legs that we just need to see him play, you know, because he fooled me, man. I thought he looked great when he was playing.
I think it is weird because we just don't know. It's like, it seems like he just had some stiffness and some soreness, and like you don't want the guy to play with that when he's your franchise player. But like, he looked healthy. I mean, we just don't know. And
so Kawhi Leonard was playing through injuries in Toronto during that championship run. So like,
It is worth noting that like his last series and a half or so, like he was clearly hobbling a little bit, especially down the stretch of the Warriors series. Like,
right,
he definitely was. Him.
And I felt it. I remember when he got hurt, I think it was when he mentioned that tendonitis, it was knee soreness from maybe compensating from the quad against the Bucks. I thought they were done. Like, I was like, oh, that's it. That's the end of this. Kawhi's a Clipper, blah, blah, blah. And then you're right. Like, he had to be carried at times. You know, Kyle Lowry was great in stretches that series. Red Van Fleet was great. Siakam was great. And then Kawhi had that one spurt that almost closed the series. But you're right. I do think he was a little bit lesser in that series, and we kind of forget it. That Raptors team was altogether great. They were stacked.
I think people who are like talking about that, like, you know, maybe they wouldn't have won if the Warriors were fully healthy. Maybe. I don't know. That Raptors team was absolutely loaded, especially defensively. It's like one of the best defensive teams we've seen in quite a while.
Really good.
Yeah. So like, returning to the original topic of the trades, I just think it's tough. Like, we just need to see how the NBA shakes out a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the Clippers are going to do something. And I just don't think it's going to be signing just like one of these guys, because they would have done it already. Or like, you know, Hassan Whiteside is available. Dwight Howard is available. I think Gorgui Dieng is available. Is he on a team? I don't even know. Like, Derek Favors is available. Like, these guys are out there, and the Clippers clearly just, it could be a monetary thing. Like, once like you hit January and you are starting able to sign 10 days or whatever, there's something where the money starts mattering less. I mean, as the season goes along, you have to pay them a little bit less. You know, if you sign them to a rest of season deal, but it could just be an entirely financial thing. But I think they just aren't interested in any of them. If they did, I think they'd sign them. But I think, you know, the fact that Moses Brown has not played outside of that one game is notable.
It's telling.
For as much as the Clippers like, Moses Brown after that game, like, if they really trusted him, they would be playing him more.
Yeah, totally fair. I think that'll do it for this episode of the Lob the Jam, the podcast. We have a back-to-back coming up on Monday and Tuesday against the Rockets and the Mavericks, a couple of steps over in Texas. And then the Pistons, and then again against the Spurs after that next week. So that's pretty much the schedule next week. We'll be coming to you after that Mavericks game, I believe. I think the Clippers being 7-6 ultimately, you know, is a bummer considering where we all expected them to be maybe after 10 games, all things considered. But considering where they started, not the worst thing. I think the Nets are playing better. They played well today too. Kudos to the Nets. And I think we'll just be
the thing I'm concerned about, not to go too long overboard, is I think they're worse than their record. I think they've played worse than their record.
That's
like,
true.
Their offense has been so bad for as good as their defense is. Like, I think they're kind of lucky to be 7-6.
That's fair. But, that's fair. Yeah. So they have a lot of edges.
You're signing off.
That's a lot of edges around them. Thanks, Rob. Leave us a nice 5-star review. Whatever platform you listen to on, 5 stars. 5 stars really helps. As always, go Clippers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.